Well, my purpose in life is to help people to draw closer to God through Jesus Christ. And so I personally want to be as close to God as I can be, and like David and Moses and Peter and Paul. And the key verse for, theme verse for our series of lessons is this one in James chapter 4 and verse 8, which tells us, draw near to God and he will draw near to God. I'm fascinated by this verse and what it suggests. God wants us to draw near to him. And he says, when we draw near to him, he draws near to us. I've done a lot of thinking and studying and praying about this subject and sharing this material with congregations in various parts of the country. And I want to share it with you this week. And I hope we can learn from each other about how to draw near to God and from his word. I'd like to begin, though, by getting a feel for where you as a congregation are in your relationships with God. And so if you turn to the first page, actually page 2 of your workbook, there's kind of a poll or survey. If you don't mind making a note of each of these areas in your relationship with God, rating it from 0 to 10, whether you strongly disagree or strongly agree with each of these descriptions of your current relationship with God. How strongly connected are you? And so having the confidence of the connection between yourself and God, being conscious of that connection. How fulfilling and empowering is your relationship with God? So how satisfying is it, and how much does it motivate you to do act in your life? How confident is your relationship with God? Confident that you're accepted by him, that your prayers are being heard by him and your ability to do his will. Openness or no hiding. How free do you feel to express how things are going for you and what things are like in your life to God? How focused and undistracted is your relationship? So this is when you're trying to spend time with God in prayer or Bible study, or being able to focus on him and his word. And how consistent is your relationship with God? And so how well do you in living out your Christian life and the character of Christ, and following through on your spiritual practices in prayer or Bible study and that type of thing. And if you don't mind writing that down, I think I'm going to have us do this at the end as well. And so on the next to last page of your workbook, there'll be another place to put these, do the same assessment at the end of our time together. As we study this important topic together, and as you seek to apply it, we'll be able to see some growth in these ways. And, all right. Several of you have already done this, which is, put your smartphone to the QR code in the front of the book and enter your answer on our poll. And if you want to join in and share your answers, then we can get kind of a feel for what our average is for the local congregation here. And feel free to do that now, or as we're going through the first lesson, or even after services, you can... This poll will still be available online. You kind of get a snapshot of where we are at as a starting point for our time together. All right. And thanks for all who are participating in that. So as we begin our study of drawing near to God and developing a stronger relationship with him, there's two preliminary questions that we want to consider. Is it even possible for us as finite human beings to have a personal relationship with the infinite God of the universe? And what does it really mean to have a deep personal relationship with God? And the reason why it's a question is because if we think about God and us, there are some really big differences, aren't there? God is infinite. We are finite. God is spirit. We are flesh and blood. And our flesh and blood is so obvious, it's hard for us to ignore. And sometimes we forget that there is a spiritual side to us. God, on the other hand, we can't see him. We can't touch him. We can't hear him with our physical ears. And so that's a major barrier of isolation, potentially, between us and God. Not only that, God is holy and righteous. We are weak and sinful. And so there's some very important ways, major differences between us and God. And it may seem that these are insurmountable differences, that it would be impossible for us to be in a relationship with God. But there is one very important way in which we are like God. We are personal beings, and God is a personal being. Let's spend some time talking about what that means. What is a person? Actually, many people use the word person as an equivalent for the word human. Every human is a person, every person is a human, and there isn't any personal beings outside of humanity. But that's not really accurate. Yes, all human beings are persons, but we're going to look at what makes them a person, and those things that make them a person are also attributes of God, which lets us know that God is also a personal being. And because of that, we can have a relationship with him. So what is a person? A person is someone with personality. And so, I don't know if you've noticed that. There's a lot of human beings, but the more you get to know them, the more different they are from each other. For example, if you want to know that human beings can be very different, all you have to do is have two kids. Because you'll have one kid and you'll say, man, this child has a very unique attribute. So a lot of similarities to me and my wife, it's a lot of dissimilarities and some of those unique characteristics of that little one are a little confusing, but you kind of start figuring out, oh, hey, I'm getting pretty good at this parenting thing. I've kind of mastered it. Maybe we should have a second child. And so you have a second child, and guess what? Everything that worked with child one doesn't work with child two, and you have to figure out an entirely unique person. Well, God is the one who designed us as human beings with personality. We have conscience, aware of our own existence. We have thoughts, purposes, feelings, desires, and intentions. And so we are, as human beings, persons in that way. Other human beings that we know are like that as well. But God also has thoughts, feelings, purposes, desires, and intentions. That's certainly how he reveals himself in the Bible. Psalm 139, verse 1. Says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it all together. God not only knows things, he knows things about us. He knows us actually better than we know ourselves. God has feelings, both positive and negative feelings. God has wrath, he says in Nahum 1:2, towards the wicked and those who harm the innocent. He says here, God is jealous and the Lord avenges. The Lord avenges and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserves wrath for his enemies. On the other hand, God has great love toward the whole world, amazingly great love. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God has plans and intentions. Acts 2:23 tells us, Jesus being delivered up by determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless deeds, have crucified and put to death. And God is actually the source of all those unique personalities in the world, all those human beings who are so different from one another. So who should we value more, the unique personalities of all these human beings around us, or the creator of those persons? Well, so God, a person is someone who has personality. A person is also someone who communicates. Speaking and listening, verbal communication is a major part of what makes us persons as human beings, and God actually is the same way. He communicates verbally. Isaiah 38, verse 5, he tells the prophet Isaiah, "Go and tell Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have what? I have heard your prayer. Not only that, I have seen your tears. Surely I will add to your days 15 years." God assured Hezekiah that Hezekiah was expressing not just a desire to be healed from his severe illness. God heard what he was saying, and he saw his tears and was responding to him through the prophet Isaiah. Because he communicates with us, this enables him to have a personal relationship with us. And we'll talk more in detail about communication and our relationship with God in the third lesson in our series. A person is someone who interacts socially. Human beings are famous for interacting socially. We have families, communities, friendships. We actually have an infinite number of names for the types of groups that we may form to associate with each other. This aspect of human nature is so important that an infant child without social contact will fail to thrive and may actually die. And so there's been orphanages where the children are being, you know, fed and clothed, and all their basic needs are being taken care of except for one. They're not getting enough basic human contact, and so they end up getting sick and even dying because of that. Human beings are social, but God is also a social being. And one way to see that is realizing that humans' love for each other is a reflection of God's love. 1 John 4, verse 7 tells us, "Behold, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." You know, love requires both a subject and an object. The one who loves and the one who is loved. And because of that, we can understand that love has existed from the beginning. That's what Jesus affirmed in John 17, verse 24, where he said in his prayer there, "Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world." From eternity past, God was not by himself. There were three persons in the Godhead living in the eternal fellowship and community of love. They eventually created the physical universe, but the love that existed between the members of the Godhead was from before the foundation of the world. So God did not create mankind because he was lonely. God was in fellowship with the other members of the Godhead, and each person of the Godhead was socially related to one another eternally. And then he did create human beings. In Genesis 1:26, we read, God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. We may not know everything about God's image that is being signified by this statement, but part of it are some of the significant ways that we have similarity to God that we've been talking about. Our personality, our ability to communicate. And so human beings were not just another living thing, but a living thing like God in some significant way. God didn't speak to the animals, he spoke to man, and man spoke to God. And God told Adam that it was not good for him to be alone. because he was this type of social being that we've been talking about. He said that in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And so Adam forms a family with another person, that woman that God gave to him. These human beings were made to be in relationship and social fellowship with God himself, which perhaps was not fully appreciated until it was lost, as when you read about it in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8 and 9. They heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" If they had not sinned, they would still be walking and talking with God in the Garden of Eden. Well, God is a divine person. We are human persons. God is a divine person. And I will mention that most of the fill-ins are, there's an underline in my slides, but the tool that I'm using, in some cases I haven't figured out how to put a underline in the titles sections, and so it's highlighted in red, the word that, for the fill-in, but since that's the first slide like that, I wanted to mention that to you. So who is this, who a divine person God is? He has personality, he communicates, he interacts socially. In these characteristics, God is not the same as us, but he corresponds to us in these ways. And that is what makes it possible for us to have a personal relationship with him. In fact, we were made for relationship with God. It's not just possible, it's what we were made for. It is our highest purpose as a human being. God made us for relationship with himself. So, if that's the case, how important is it for us to actually have that relationship that God designed and made us for? So, let's make some key insights that are going to guide a lot of our discussion and study in this week. Since we are human beings, we as human beings are personal beings, and God is a personal being, our relationship with other human beings can serve as a model for understanding how we relate to God. In many respects, what makes relationships between other human beings and us work or grow stronger or grow weaker makes our relationship with God grow stronger or weaker as well. And so we're going to be applying some of those insights as we think about good human relationships and then apply how that works in our relationship with God. One of the models that we're going to use throughout our study is thinking about different types of relationships based on how deep they are. Well, what is a deep personal relationship? Depth of relationship indicates the level of connectedness in a relationship. Deeper relationships take more time. They're typically shared with fewer individuals, and they're more important to us. Different types of relationships have different appropriate depths. You can't, it's not practical to have the deepest possible relationship with every human being in the world. It's really not possible or would even be safe. But to illustrate what I mean by various depths of relationship, we can think of someone who we have no relationship with at all. This is someone who's foreign to us. This could mean, you know, maybe they do speak a totally different language. That would definitely fit the bill. Or just we know nothing about them and they know nothing about us. And so that's most of humanity, right? We are foreign to them. They are foreign to us. Most of the world falls in this category. That's not the category that we want to be in with God. We do not want to be a stranger to him. In fact, Jesus warned some that they were going to be shocked on the judgment day to find out that they were essentially strangers to God. In Matthew 7, verse 21, Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall inherit the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And so, on Judgment Day, they're going to find out. They thought they might have been very close to God based on what they had been doing. But they were not doing the will of the Father in heaven. And Jesus tells them, I do not know you. On the other hand, whereas there are some that would be shocked that they are not known by God and vice versa, there are many others in this world who are trying to forget that God even exists. This is definitely a dysfunctional relationship. Romans 1, verse 28 talks about such individuals. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgivable, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. The serious consequences of not knowing God will be fully manifest on the judgment day. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 6 tells us it's a righteous thing to God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We definitely do not want to be in that category, those who do not know God and those who have not obeyed gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we want to be closer to God than that. A deeper level of relationship than foreign is familiar. And there's many people who fall in this category. You kind of run into them from time to time, but they're not deeply involved in your life. And so again, this is a very large category of human beings that we have a passing familiarity with, but not a deep relationship with. And we definitely don't want to be satisfied for mere familiarity with God. Job, after he went through a great trial of suffering and came through based on his faith, I guess has this to say, and I think this is really encouraging to our own desires to grow closer to God and grow. After this trial of suffering, his comment was, in essence, I thought I was close to you before, but how close I am now, it's like before I was just merely familiar. And so this is how he expressed it in Job chapter 42, verse 5. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I abhor myself and I repent in dust and ashes. Well, there's many people in this world that they've definitely heard of God. But that's as far as the relationship goes. They can't say that they are completely unfamiliar with the concept of God. But in our case, as we grow closer to him, our past knowledge of him and closeness seems like mere familiarity can compare to where we grow as we face the challenges of God, of life with God on our side. Well, the next level of depth that we'll consider is fellowship. This idea, this word has the idea of having things in common. And certainly is much more significant than mere familiarity or being totally foreign to somebody. And the concept of fellowship in our relationship with God is mentioned in passages like this one in 1 John 1, verse 5, where we're told that God is light and there's no darkness in him at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So if we want to be at this level of relationship with God, we need to realize that God is light. There's no darkness in him at all. We need to walk in the light as he is in the light. Then we can have fellowship with him. And we'll definitely talk more about that as we continue our study. A little deeper level of relationship beyond fellowship is friendship. Where we have more in common, kind of commitment and purpose in our relationship. Jesus said this to his disciples, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." Jesus is calling us into friendship with himself. He wants all of the disciples to think of themselves and have this more committed relationship of friendship with him, and the life that demonstrates that type of friendship with God and with the Son Jesus. A little deeper level of relationship is family, where there are family ties and bonds joining people to one another. And God wants us to be part of his family. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 tells us, "As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are what? Sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Indeed, we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified together." This is what God desires for us, to be us to be his adopted son or adopted daughter within the family of God. And then we'll talk about an even deeper level of relationship, that our fundamental relationship, where our highest priority is and our whole being is devoted to God. And that is the type of relationship that, again, God wants us to have with him. When Jesus is asked what the greatest commandment in the law is, he says in Matthew 22 and verse 37, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." When our whole being is devoted to God, that actually is a relationship that can't be taken away from us. We have a relationship with a lot of people in this world. Some are more important relationships than others. Maybe you have a favorite grocery store clerk. She might get fired, or she may transfer to another store that's too far away from your house, and so you lose your favorite grocery store clerk. We have spouse and children. They are not going to live forever. We cannot maintain these human relationships indefinitely. And in fact, we could be separated from all our human relationships by being taken to a foreign land, maybe, and put in solitary confinement there. And yet, even in such a place, God is with us. And even if our physical life is taken, we are there with God. That's the foundational relationship that we can always count on. Well, before we close, I wanted to give you a little preview of the teacher lessons in this series. Tomorrow night, Lord willing, we'll be talking about desire relationships, and then look at how important communication is in our relationship with God. Then we'll look at the attributes of relationships at the fellowship level and friendship level. Then attributes that are important to friend and family level of relationship before looking at our deepest fundamental relationship with God. And then ending the series by examining in detail what the Bible has to say about drawing near to God by the blood of Jesus, and how to make our relationship with God legal in the final lesson of our series. So I hope these ideas are helpful, and that you'll make plans to join us for as many of these lessons as you can. This is our theme verse: "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. This is what we were made for, a close relationship with God. Why are we here on this life? To live for God so that we can live eternally with God in heaven. And the only way to do that is by drawing near to God through Jesus Christ, becoming a Christian and a follower of Jesus until we reach our heavenly home. And so that is what we are there for. Pray with me, please. Holy Father, we're so grateful, Lord, that we have this truth in our hearts and minds, that as amazing as it is, even though you are far beyond us in so many ways, you made us for a relationship with you. You made us with our own personality and our own thoughts and feelings and the ability to act with our own free will. But you did that so that we could choose to know you and act in such a way to draw closer to you. We thank you for this precious promise that as we draw close to you, that you draw close to us. And we pray that you would be with our hearts this week as we focus on how to do that and seek to apply that in our lives. Bless us in these lessons as we come together, and bless us in our own private times of prayer and devotion to you, and that we may do exactly that in drawing close to you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we want to give an opportunity to any who is desires to become a child of God tonight. Didn't mean for that to go to that spot. Let's put that there. All right. If you're not a child of God tonight, we want to give you an opportunity to do that. So this lesson hasn't taught about how to respond to the gospel, but if that is your desire, that you want to put on Christ in baptism by confessing your faith in Jesus Christ and repenting of your sins, we want to give you an opportunity now to do that. And so if that's your spiritual desire, come forward and let us know as we sing this song.